Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
This is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. Redneck and Eyes Radio live. It is Tuesday, October 18th. Still 2022. So don't get your hopes up. We got a little bit of ways to go here, but hey, counting it down to the end of the year. And just want to let everybody know that we're thinking about you. You can call in here 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. And we appreciate everybody listening along and following us here. Go check us out, redneckinize.com. We appreciate all that. And thank one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. We appreciate all their support. So this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. It's every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, whenever we can. You know, we're just a bunch of truckers trying to do our best to bring out the brotherhood of trucking like it once was back in the day, to try to help drivers and help new drivers and just help the motoring public in general. So, like I said, check us out, redneckinize.com, and go check us out here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time at 515-602-9731. So let's check it out. It's Redneck and Eyes Radio.
I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed. We're Redneck and Eyes Radio coming back here. Appreciate everybody's support. I was just fine-tuning a few things. Let's see here. I was trying to figure out. Oh, well, never mind. But anyway, there we go. Hey, appreciate everybody joining us. Just check us out, like I said, redneckandeyes.com, and be sure to go check out all of our great sponsors. Another great sponsor I'd like to mention, and that's Load to Ride Transportation. That's ltrtransportation.com. They're a great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado, and they're just drop-dead busy over there. You know, they're the ones, it's one of those companies. It's like a medium-sized company. It's not very small. It's not very big. But the cool part about being a driver there is you're going to learn and you're going to have to participate. It's not just where you just get a computer and they just tell you, go here, go here, go here, do what we tell you. They want your feedback on a lot of different things. Like, you know, you need to understand that you're going to be the one talking to the customers. You're going to talk to brokers. You're going to talk to shippers. You're going to talk to, you know, everybody else about this is, you know, can we haul this freight? Is the trailer clean? Stuff like that, you know, and it's getting involved. And if you're taking the steps to become your own independent contractor, independent owner-operator, going with a company like Load to Ride is one of the great steps to doing that. So check them out. It's ltrtransportation.com, Load to Ride Transportation, and I appreciate all their support of Redneck and I, so go check them out. So I was looking at some news, and I heard, so it was on Fox Business. I mean, it was even like a breaking news in the Fox News regular deal. CNN even had a deal on it. It was talking about how Kroger, national food warehouse, what do you call, grocery store, buying out Albertsons. And this is a big deal because the one thing that I wanted to take on this is that there, we all know that it's not set in stone yet because there's going to be a lot of regulations. They're, you know, they even talked about in their press release that they're going to sell off a lot of their stores that are like in the blended market. So like, let's say that there's a small town that's got two grocery stores. One of them is an Albertsons, one of them is a Kroger, or one of their affiliates. I mean, what I found out that doing this, looking at this, was that Albertsons owns a bunch of different grocery stores and Kroger owns a bunch of different grocery stores. So Kroger, they own the one like that King Super. That's Kroger. Because I think that's what it is. And then like Ralph's and all those others that are like, you know, you think they're more regional, but they're not. They're owned by these bigger conglomerates. So they're going to have to, like, you know, if there's a small town, there's only two grocery stores, and one of them's a Kroger and one of them's an Albertsons, they're going to have to sell one of them. They're going to have to get rid of it and make it, like, you know, sell it to a competitor or whatever. And I'm thinking in my head, like, who are the competitors? There's not. I mean, Walmart, that's it. As far as groceries, you know, you've got HEB, which is more regional. They're not, you know, I mean, HEB may take an opportunity to buy some grocery stores that are not too far away, but, you know, to expand their market. You know, HEB, I remember when they were never in the DFW area, and they've been slowly, you know, creeping that way. I think there's an HEB in Temple, and a warehouse. I'm talking about distribution center. HEB is based out of San Antonio. They got a big warehouse in Houston. They're big in South Texas and East Texas and all that. And they've been creeping up there. I think they've got a warehouse in Temple, Texas, just south of Waco. And that's it as far as warehouses. And you know, talk about how they can get food to their locations and that and all that stuff. So you know, they may say, hey, you got a store in Amarillo, I'll buy it, you know, whatever. Or you got a store in Oklahoma City, or there might even be some stores that they have to sell off in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they have to do that. And there, and other places where other competitors might be able to get in and expand their markets. But I was looking at it, there's not very many markets to where there's a lot of competition. And so there was and the reason I wanted to talk about this is because long ago, back in the 80s, you know, we've always had this antitrust law. And what they've always the law was created, you know, back in the beginning of the corporations and the turn of the century there, you know, where we had, and this was before the Depression and all that stuff. And, you know, what they did was is they decided that, you know, not you can't own all the market. They even had Microsoft actually had antitrust issues because everybody was buying Microsoft software. There was no other competitor. And then this was at the time where Microsoft was huge and nobody was using Apple. You know, and nobody was buying Apple's computers that were using a different system. So if you watch any of the old documentaries or movies about Steve Jobs and how Apple and Microsoft were intertwined a little bit together. I mean, they were working with each other until Bill Gates screwed everybody and took his money and ran, you know. So but what it was that they come down to say, you can't own all the market, that no one company can control the market. And of course, you know, this is, you see this all over the place with gas stations, you know, when you see a local area where the gas stations, you know, this has happened before where, you know, you've had, what is it called? Remember Diamond Shamrock used to be a big deal, and they changed over and got bought out by Valero. And then they had to sell a bunch of stores because there were Valeros and Diamond Shamrocks together in the same, on the same block. And they couldn't do that. You had to, you know, you had to merge them. You had to sell them off or whatever. And you see that. You see that all over the place to where the laws come down and say you can't control the market. Back when Flying J and Pilot merged, they had to do the same thing. Love's took over a bunch of the stores that were used to be Flying J's or Pilot's because they, you know, they merged. And if you had a Flying J and a Pilot within the same exits of each other on the same highway, you know, they said you can't do that. You got to sell off a bunch of their stores. So they did that. And you saw a bunch of change in hands and stuff like that. The TAs and Petros the same way. You know, there was a lot of deals because you remember Ripoffs used to be its own deal. And then they became TA Petros. I might have got into the industry a little late when it came to the Union 76s. I don't know if they became TA or if they got bought out by TA, but a lot of the 76s used to be their own deal until they became TAs. You know, that kind of, the truck stops the same way. You know, we saw that throughout the trucking industry. So what we know is that they always said you can't control the market. Well, then in the 80s, and this has everything to do with like the whole Microsoft issue, that a judge, I forgot the guy's name, you know, I'll do a little bit more digging on this and we'll talk about this more because it's a big deal. So, because if you're working for these industries, like in the grocery warehouse, maybe even, the truck stop business, you know, if you're a professional truck stop, worker or whatever, even mechanics, you know, think about things like that. But, if you work in these industries, or even work for these industries in some fashion, like trucking industries work, you know, they truck stops. We're getting to the point where truck stops are getting, you know, it's a pain in the ass sometimes, a lot of these truck stops. But if, especially if you're doing business with all of these grocery warehouses. So it came down the pipe, you know, of course we know the law was created, the antitrust law to say, no, you can't own the whole, and you can't control the industry, right? So then a judge in the 80s came down and said, well, that's not necessarily a problem as long as you're providing a quality service for the consumer. Even Walmart, people have tried to bring antitrust cases toward Walmart. And now this is kind of a precedent to where it's not that big of a deal as long as you're not gouging the customer. That's what the thing is. They don't want you to upcharge like you know, if you controlled the market, then you could essentially charge whatever you wanted to charge to the consumer, whatever you wanted, because they can't go get whatever they want from anybody else. They have to get it from you. Well, basically what the judges said there in the 80s was it's okay as long as they're not gouging the customer. So if you're Walmart and you're providing the lowest prices, you can own all the stores, all the retail stores in America could be Walmart's as long as Walmart's not upcharging their customers. And of course we see customers are flocking to the chance and opportunity to buy their products, regardless of where they're from or whatever. You know, it's just like, that's a good price, I'm going to go get it. So it creates to me, in my opinion, another problem. And that's labor or the cost of getting those services to your stores. So there's been a kind of an uptick in, you know, Walmart employees trying to unionize here in the past and everything. And of course, you know, union's not that big of a deal. It kind of sucks because if you're a hard worker and you join a union, well, then your hard work isn't going to pay off in the union. You know, we know that. So what happens is that they get into the precedent of, are they paying, you know, basically the only place that's hiring is Walmart. So is Walmart paying people fairly, competitively? Some say yes, some say no. It's a balance, right? We don't know. In some people's opinion, it's good. You know, to people like us, truck drivers and such, you know, we think that a person starting out at Walmart, not necessarily getting paid $15 an hour, but guess what? Opportunity is there to expand. And if you don't have a skill, you know, if you're not trained to do something, then that's pretty much all the job you can get. You need to take what you can get. And we've seen that, you know, in all of these other places. So grocery stores the same way. If you don't have any kind of type of experience, or your experience is in working at a grocery store, grocery warehouse or whatever, then, you know, the opportunity is there. And then the only thing that can benefit you as far as making money is, you know, your experience, or, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know, kind of thing, whatever. But what we're seeing is that when these big companies merge together and they're necessarily controlling the market, they're pretty much controlling the market of the of that particular industry. And the government is okay with that because they're not gouging the actual customer, the person paying for the products. They're not getting gouged. They're still able to buy their products at a reasonable price. The problem with that is that if you're in the trucking industry and you pick up products that are going to the grocery warehouse and there's only one grocery warehouse company taking that delivery, well, they are only going to pay what they need to pay. You know, you can't say I'm going to go haul this freight instead of this freight because it's paying, you know, I mean, there's different deals, we all know. But if you let's say you run a reefer, you know, you're going to have to decide what you're going to do. And when a certain market goes down, you slide over to this other market, you know. So what's going to happen is that because this one conglomerate controls all of the grocery freight for a particular region, they can pretty much set the price because they're the only ones. So you have to, you know, and what if, let's say you're a truck driver and you had a bad deal with Albertsons. You don't want to haul no more Albertsons freight. All you're hauling is Kroger freight. Well, guess what? Now they're the same. Now what are you going to do? So you got to figure out, are you going to, you know, try to make it better and make it work because they merged? Are they going to see that, you know, guess what? We can do whatever we want. We don't have to pay, you know, Kroger might have been paying less for their freight and nobody wanted to haul it. Everybody wanted to haul Albertsons. Well, now they've merged and the whoever's running the program is going to win, saying, you know what? I can pay a little bit more. I'm not going to pay that much more, you know, or the guy that was in charge over at Kroger says, you know what? I've gotten by paying this low amount. I'm going to keep doing it. And I'm in control. I'm in charge. And, you know, you can, and we've said here before, you have a choice. You can choose not to haul their freight. That's all fine and dandy. But what happens when they're the only freight to be hauled? That's the problem that I have, is that if that's all the freight there is to haul, it's for that one company and they're not willing to pay, you know, then what do you do? And a lot of people say you do just like a lot of people have done. You get out of business. You go do something else. And that's, hey, let's do it, you know, because I'd love to see it. I'd love to see more and more truck drivers that aren't be able to make it, especially as owner-operators, because there's even laws going into effect, or there's new rules coming down from the Department of Labor trying to change the definition of an owner-operator. And they're basically trying to put owner-operators out of business. So this here, where, you know, Albertsons and Kroger are you know, merging, well, that's more and more of controlling the market, controlling the freight market in that particular region or that particular industry. You know, as an owner-operator, you should be able to do a choice. You say, I got a truck. That truck doesn't necessarily have to haul that refrigerated trailer. It doesn't necessarily have to haul that dry van. I can go do flatbed and go do something else. That's great. I'd love to see more and more trucks, you know, get out of the business because of all this stupid crap of these companies merging. And I bet like I said, I don't know for sure, but I bet you they're, you know, of course we all see it. I mean, everybody's like, well, the freight ain't paying that good. Well, we know it ain't paying that good because if, you know, and they say, well, there's a driver shortage. Well, there's no driver shortage because if there's a driver shortage, then everybody'd be making tons of money. but they're not. So there's not a driver shortage. You know, there's a lot of companies out there trying to hire good drivers, and they can't find any. So they have to pay more to attract better drivers. But guess what? The shippers don't care. Shippers don't care if the driver is good or bad. They just want the freight there. And they know that driving a big truck's not that hard. You know, but what we do know is that paying for insurance, making sure it's there on time, all that stuff, that's what's hard. So I was getting to the point of the companies merging, becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. They have more power to control the market. And as owner operators, you got to watch out for that. And you got to see it and understand that, you know, they're allowed to do it because some judge back in the 80s said it was okay to, you know, merge and become bigger and bigger as long as you're not gouging the consumer. The consumer matters the most. But what about the employees? When you have one particular company running the industry, the employees can't go anywhere else and work in the same industry for a different company. You know, they can't, especially in certain regions. So truck drivers the same way. There's more and more regional truck drivers than there are over-the-road truck drivers because that's where the money is in the shorter hauls. So yeah, I can see it. I can see these grocery stores trying to undercut the rate because they're like, we're the only ones here. You know, this is what we're paying. If you don't want to do it, go somewhere else. And they'll attract the not-so-good drivers that, you know, the ones that don't have any steps on the passenger side or the ones that have the gas tanks with the rag sticking in the top, keeping it from leaking out, those truck drivers, the ones that seem to be getting around the scales and not having to have any inspections done, or they got some kind of cousin mechanic writing up inspections for them, you know, and the trucks, you know, the trucks shouldn't be passing inspection, but they do. You know, those drivers, those are the ones they don't care about. You know, the ones that take up the parking spots, you know, two or three times, the ones that don't even park in parking spots, those are the drivers that are taking the business because they're doing it for less. But, you know, they're not that good of a driver. So those are the ones that we got to watch out for that are doing it for less. You know, you see them all the time. You know, they're the ones that pull into the little gas stations down the side of the road. And they have to, like, fix the truck before, you know, they can't shut the truck off because if they shut it off, it won't start back up, that kind of thing. You know, that's what we see. We see day in, day out. So, yeah. So, Lama, tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. Go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Appreciate everybody's support. And let's go check it out here, what we got on the phones. And click. What's up, bud?
Listen, man, you touching a nerve here now. You making mm-hmm. me feel bad. You're picking at me now. I got my driver's side step tied on with a rubber bungee. I got my spot mirror zip tied on. I got my headlights and my Gorilla Tape. You know, what more can you want? You know, it's DOT. It's compliant. Everything's on. There ain't nothing falling off of my truck. I don't see the problem.
Yeah, right. You know, it's it's on there. It ain't going to come off in the next 10 miles, I promise.
Yeah, it's just like them guys tying stuff on a rope. It ain't going to go nowhere right before it falls off.
Yeah.
But, yep. You know, it's like you were just talking. I got caught in late. I just been busy. But anyhow, yeah, I mean, the trucking companies, you know, they can't pay the drivers any more money to haul the freight. You know, they keep wanting to get bigger. These companies want to keep getting bigger, and they keep wanting to hire, you know, more drivers. And they're you look at Facebook, and there's ads on there. Everywhere you look, there's ads.
Everywhere.
Wanting drivers. Well, yeah, everybody wants drivers, but what are you paying? You know, they promise you everything, you know. They'll promise them the stars, you know, to get them on there. And then when they get, well, you know, we can't, you know, that's we can't do that. That's the famous last words. You can earn up to this amount.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you you're going to start out in the basement. It's going to take you 10 years to get up to what they said that they're going to hire you in for.
Yeah, or even they even got the sign-on bonuses are even that way, too. That's like, we got a $10,000 sign-on bonus paid over 5 years.
Yeah, you got to be there 5 years to collect it all.
Yeah.
Well, in 5 years, they've done made that $10,000 off of you plus three times over.
Exactly.
But they can't pay a driver anymore because these companies out there, I don't know who they're bullshitting, but if they think that, you know, that, well, you know, we're the best of the best of the best, bullshit. You know, you take that, that dog don't hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your rate is too high, they're going to go to the next guy down the line, whether it be Warner, JB, Snyder, Swift, whoever it is, they're going to start calling around and they're going to find somebody to do it cheaper. So if you want to haul their freight, you're going to do it for this rate, or they'll just go down and say, well, we can get somebody else to do it cheaper. So these companies that says, oh, he's a good customer, and they won't get rid of us because they like our stuff. Yeah, bullshit. They're in it to make money just the same as the trucking company. And the trucking company is hauling that company's stuff as cheap as everybody else is hauling it. Therefore, that's why they can't pay the drivers anymore, because the company is just barely scraping by now. And if they pay the drivers anymore, then that takes money out of off their bottom line to where they can't go and invest that in other trucking companies to buy more trucking companies so they can run more drivers broke. Because that's exactly what they're doing. They're paying the drivers shit wages. They're not paying the drivers worth a damn. That makes their bottom line look big. You know, that makes them, their quarterly profits is enormous. And some of them, like the one I just quit and left, that's what they do. All right, they get on there and brag about their quarterly profits. In the meantime, the drivers was out here struggling to put fuel in their damn trucks because the rates are so damn cheap. But the drivers, I blame them because they keep hauling it. I did it for a little bit. I said, you know what, hell with this. That didn't take me 2 months. I said, you can shove this in your ass. I'm gone. And I left. But you got guys out there still doing it. So they're out there, you know. They're taking that quarterly profits, and they're making all this money, and they're investing that money. They're going out and buying other trucking companies up. And when the bottom line, when it comes down to it, they don't want it. They don't want the company. They don't want the trucking company. They don't want the drivers per se. They want their accounts. And most of the time, that's what they want. They want their accounts, their customers. That's what they're wanting. They give a damn about their trucks.
Well, that's,
you know, a perfect example of that is what just happened with Heartland. What was it? Heartland that just bought Smith?
Yep.
The transport out of Roaring Springs? They didn't give a damn about that big shiny black trucks. They didn't care about the drivers. They wanted their customer base, and that's all they wanted. They don't give a damn about the trucks.
Well, most of these bigger companies, they, you know, like Heartland, they've got their own brokerage accounts. So they're going to broker that freight out anyway. They don't need trucks. They can just broker it out and give it out to these little independents and do it for chump change.
And
mm-hmm.
every one of these companies has got just about, I'll say 90% of these trucking companies out here has also got a brokerage license, a brokers. They're a broker.
Yep.
They can broker freight the same as whatever. So all they have to do is take their freight, and they can broker that out if they've got, just say, Heartland and Smith Transport. They're owned by Heartland, but they're still operating under Smith, and they're operating the Heartland side under Heartland. So Heartland can take that freight. They can broker it to the Smith trucks for a cheaper rate, and then the money comes right back into Heartland.
Yep.
The money's all coming right back into the same account.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. Well, it's Smith Transport, but we brokered this load off of Smith Transport. Wait a minute. You own Smith Transport. So that money's coming right back. You know, the chickens are coming home to roost. That money's all coming right back in their account. It's bait and switch. That's all it comes down to. It's just another way to beat the system. You know, Trump wasn't allowed to do that. Oh, no, you know, he can't do it. Well, he cheated on his taxes. Well, what the hell are they doing? That's the same thing these companies is doing. There's loopholes in there. And all they're doing, they're not doing anything illegal. You know, because the laws are written right there. They, you know, it's just like Trump when they said he was cheating on his taxes and all this bullshit. No, he didn't cheat on them. He used the system just like everybody else does. There's loopholes in the system. He found a loophole. He used it. And that's what everybody else does. And you can bet your sweet ass if the loopholes are there, and they are, and I find them, I'm going to use them. And I do.
Yep.
If they're there, I'm going to use them. I'm not giving the government any more money than I have to.
That's it.
You know, they're giving too much of it away now. So I don't blame nobody. But I'm just saying that's why the drivers aren't getting paid any better, is because the companies can't afford to pay the drivers when the companies are running it as cheap as they can run it now to keep the rate. They can't afford to pay the drivers anymore on the contract. Well, they could, but they won't, because
yep.
they're showing that they're operating damn near in the red.
Well, you know, we get this whole thing down the pipe where, you know, the drivers, of course, these are all individuals, you know, basically good people that are trying to do good, trying to make
right.
a living. And then what happens is they book a load online where they don't really have to negotiate. They're like, yeah, I'll take that rate. I'll take that. I'll do it. And then they get a phone call about an hour later saying, well, I ain't got that much in it. I can only do this much. And the good person that this truck driver is, he's like, well, you know, I told you I'd do it. So I'd do it for that, you know, and all that. And that's where you got to tell them, you know, they say, well, I can't pay. You got to say, nope, I'm done. See you later. Go find somebody else.
That's right.
You know? And more and more truck drivers.
Like that load that we,
yeah.
It's like that load we booked through Landstar that time. It was on the board for like $1,700 to go like, you know, 200 mile or some stupid, ridiculous
yep.
figure, but
yep.
which was a lot of money for the miles. But I didn't put it on the board for that. They posted on their board for that was a rate on their broker board. So we called them and told them, yeah, we'd take it, right? Send it over to us. Send us confirmation on it. And he sent the confirmation over, and it was something, it was, oh, no. And she called him. She said, no, no, no. This wasn't what you told us. Oh, no, I can't pay that. We ain't got that much in it. Well, wait a minute. You put it on the board for that. That's what
yep.
we accepted. Oh, no, I didn't do that. Well, somebody put it on there for that. It didn't just, well, no. Well, it was gone all of a sudden. No, no. She screenshotted it. She got it. She printed it out. She seen it. It was right there. Landstar, they're good for it. I mean, they're good for doing that. They all are.
Well,
but
no,
he
even
got caught.
Yeah, Landstar even does that on their own board. They have their own for their own drivers. They do the same thing
and
on
again,
there.
They've
What's
already
that?
Got most of their drivers working for what, 60 some percent?
Yeah.
Pulling
yeah,
their
I
trailers,
think,
65 or whatever it is percent. They're already
yeah.
raping them guys, and then they're going to turn around and rape them some more.
Yeah, and
give me a freaking break, man.
And then the driver. So I was in a meeting with the VPs of Landstar, and we said, hey, why do these guys put the freight on the board for this amount, but then when you call them on the load, that's not the right amount. And he actually said, well, you know, that's what happens because what it is that you guys go in there, the truck drivers will go in there and say, I'm only going to haul certain freight that has this much money in it or this much per mile. I'm not going to haul anything less. So you only get like five or six different loads, and all the other loads don't show up. So what these brokers do, or these agents, whatever you want to call them, what they do is they put it in there that it's paying, you know, $3 or a mile or whatever the good rate is that you want. That way it shows up on your search. See, because what it is, and he says it, you keep putting up walls to because you don't want the cheap freight. And what they do is they keep trying to hurdle those walls. They fudge the numbers or play with the entries so that it shows up on your search. That way you'll call them. And that's when
there needs to be something in line to where they should have to own up to that. They should
well,
have to pay whatever they got on that board. That's what they should have to pay. They quit that mess.
Well, then that's what because I mean we all said that to the VP. It's like well they shouldn't be allowed to do that. And he's like, well, but you know what? They got the freight, and we need the freight, and da 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 da. And it's like, dude, I don't need the freight that bad for somebody. I mean,
that's right.
the whole concept of the free market system to work is you have to have a sense of morality to say I'm not going to screw that guy over. That's the only way the free market can work. Because the free market,
exactly.
If you go try to scam people. And that's when the people start hating the free market. That's why we got so many people that are interested. The younger generation, they're so interested in socialism because they've been screwed over by this free market that the morality is just gone completely from the whole market system.
Yep.
And that's why they don't like it. They'd rather have one big control conglomerate of government to control everything. That's why they want to keep electing politicians to say, you know, elect me and I'll make laws to where they can't do that no more. And it's like, no, I don't want them to pass a law. I just don't want them to do it anymore. They should know it's
laws.
Not right. Yeah.
I'm getting tired of them passing laws, making laws. Why don't you enforce the laws that's on the books? We don't need no more laws. We just need them to enforce the laws that's out here.
Yeah, I mean, chances
are. Same way with this industry right here. Don't make no new rules and regulations. Just enforce the ones that you got and make them stick.
Yeah, and chances are if the guy is breaking the rules that are like, you know, the natural moral rules of don't screw nobody over, if they're breaking those rules, chances are they're probably breaking the laws too. So you don't need to pass new laws, like you say. Just go in there and start digging
right
into the company, and you'll see. Oh, they're breaking the law right there. That's a law broken. That's a law broken.
Right.
We didn't even need to pass a new law. You know, I mean,
right.
I mean, basically, you got all of these attorney generals and prosecutors going after Trump, and it's like, man, if you actually spent the time going after these, you know, like these actual like Enron and Twitter and all these crazy people cheating the system, if you spend as much time going
right
after them as you went after Trump, this world would be a whole lot better place.
Right. Exactly.
Because, I mean, there's people out there getting screwed over left and right by other people, and all they're worried about is Trump. So.
Well, they're scared to death right now because they got, what, 3 weeks? And they're losing their ass, and they know it. They know it's coming down to crunch time, and they're doing it by fighting a battle right now. They can't win, and they're pissed off.
I mean, they're just constantly.
It's like a bunch of mad rats right now.
So guess where I'm going to be Saturday.
What's
did
that?
Did you? So guess who's coming to town Saturday? Guess who's coming to Oasis County?
Oh yeah, Trump. Yep. I seen that on there. I did. You said that. Yep. Yeah, I see it.
I registered on the email. Got a confirmation. So the doors open at 2:00. It starts at 7:00. So I don't know, man. It's going to be tough.
You'll be there at 1:30.
I'll be there at 1:30, and then probably won't get in the door until like 5 or 6, if I get in the door at all.
Right.
I'm not really sure how they do it, because you RSVP to say, yeah, I'll show up. And then like,
right,
it's not even a ticket or anything. It's just, I think they just want a head count, you know, and all that. So,
right.
But it's hilarious to me because I didn't think that, you know, they'd come down here or want to. I mean, Texas is pretty much a shoe-in for any kind of, you know, I think they
right
just want an opportunity to talk bad about that O'Rourke guy because he's crazy. So yeah.
He's an idiot. Crazy.
Yeah, he is.
Crazy ain't the word for it. He's a total moron.
I was going to go. He had an event scheduled here in Corpus Christi back in August, and I'd signed up to go. And I was going to, like, put on my redneck and eyes hat and take my poker chips and my stickers and all that and start going down there and shaking hands and say, hey, you bunch of morons. Like, you know, and it was supposed to be, like, Saturday evening is when it was supposed to be. It was a Democratic Party, Beto O'Rourke, you know, campaign event here in Corpus Christi on Saturday evening. Well, Friday evening, they sent out an email saying they canceled the event, that O'Rourke's not going to show up.
Well, yeah. He ain't stupid.
Well, he said that he got a little sick, a little under the weather, so he was going to take some time, spend some family, take some time off. I said, dude, you got a freaking 80-year-old president running around, and you got a 76, 77, old Trump running around doing all his stuff. And here you are, the youngest candidate out there, and you can't even hold up, man. You're that's pathetic. But yeah,
well,
it's
Biden, that ain't saying a lot for him, because he's got to take a couple naps a day now to get through the day. They were just talking about that today. Why does he have to rest so much?
Well, yesterday I was, you know, so the new release came out where he was sitting there licking his ice cream, talking about how great the economy is, you know?
Yeah.
Right. So that's the funny thing is he's sitting there eating ice cream out of his waffle cone, and he's like, oh, economy's awesome. You know, and the guy said it's ironic that he's sitting there licking his ice cream like he's high on the hog, and all these people can't pay for gas, can't pay for groceries, and he's just sitting there, oh, it's
right,
all right, everything's all right. You know, yum, yum, yum,
right,
and everything. Well, so come to find out, if you go into the Alzheimer's dementia website, they actually have a page on the website that actually says that if you have dementia or any kind of Alzheimer's symptoms, eating ice cream relieves those symptoms.
Huh.
Because it stimulates the brain, because you're, you know, you get the brain freeze. It helps the brain. So
you know what? There ain't enough ice cream nowhere, man, to stimulate that brain. Ain't gonna happen.
So yeah, so that's why he eats a lot of ice cream, because it's like his recharge. You know, that's what keeps his brain going. So yeah, that's
feed
what it
the
is.
Recharge. They're pushing all these electric cars and shit. How come they're not running more? The Beast and all them Secret Service cars and all them black cars down there, how come they're still running on fossil fuel? How come they ain't got electric cars down there?
Why are they still running fossil fuels? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all the government cars. Why are they still running fossil fuel cars, gas-powered cars, when they're pushing that electric so much? Don't you think you should clean your own closet out first?
Every single law, I tell anybody out there that's out there saying that we should have cleaner cars and the electric cars and all that, every single person I see that says that, I say, go look at the law. When the law is written, any law that says you got to have a certain emission standards or you got to have a certain deal of electric or whatever like that, every law, it has in there a little bit at the bottom. It says the United States federal government and all of its agencies are exempt from all of these laws.
Yep.
So when Caterpillar says we don't make any more engines because we're not going to be compliant with any of those EPA standards, Caterpillar still makes engines. They sell them to the government. You know, when the Caterpillar started making its own trucks, they sold them to the government because they weren't going to – the government says we want engines that are pre-emissions. We don't want any of these other emission standards. So any vehicle that they use for government, they are exempt. They do not have to have any emission standards. So, yeah, that's why they do that, because they know. They know.
Yeah.
We know. They know. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. It's what is it called? Do what I say, not as I do?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Bite me.
Yeah. Well, it looks like Robbie's in there, too. Where's he at?
Oh, I'm not here. I'm listening to you guys talk about Trump and whatnot and...
He's not there playing with his dump truck.
So? No, there's a reason why I parked that truck.
Yeah, see?
Because the freight's not paying. Or you got stupid brokers that want to play games.
There you go. That's it. And I wish more drivers could do that. It just park it, man. You know? Don't even worry about it. Because it's one of those things. Yep, here he goes. Looks like Jeff's ready to chime in. Good evening there, Mr.
Yeah.
Sir.
Yeah. How you doing? Doggone brokers today. I've been waiting all day we got four loads. If that one cancels, we got another one. Well, evidently all four of them canceled. Because now I'm no longer doing Amazon, and now I'm going to go back to doing moving van.
Wow.
So they just found somebody to do it cheaper, Jeff. That's all.
That's exactly what happened.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know it.
Yeah, that's all they did. They found someone else cheaper to do it.
That's all them assholes do. They sit around, these brokers sit around at truck shops, see who they can get to do it the cheapest. And by the end of the day, when it comes down to crunch time, when they've got to get a truck on it, then the cheapest one that they got all day, that's the one that's going to get the load.
Mm-hmm.
But they hold that load, sit on that load as long as they can before they move it.
Well, that's exactly right, because this one of them that was canceled was supposed to pick up at midnight last night, and they couldn't find anybody hot last night. So they just give it to me in a day while I go to Amazon. They said, oh, well, I'm sorry, that one's been canceled. That was supposed to be picked up here last night. Well, yeah, I know. I just got it this morning, but I have never seen so many empty bobtails sitting around one area as I am here down in Phoenix, Arizona.
That's something.
Unbelievable. I bet there's 30 or 40 of them sitting at Love's. There's about 20 or 30 of them sitting over at the Flying J. They're strewn out in the streets in between. It's like, holy shit, I'm lucky to get a load at all out of here.
Yeah.
They're like fleas.
Now, you're better off looking for something either over in L.A., Jeff, over in L.A., or deadheading over to Texas.
Well, I don't know. I found a decent load.
No, that's the other reason why I'm still at home. Because, yeah, there's in the last week and a half, I've been looking at the one load board that I normally use. There's been three loads on it. Today there were six on it, but I'm looking for RGM freight, and their Volvo truck's going wherever, and they're paying $1.90 a mile.
Wow.
Yeah, $1.90
for
RGN. Yeah.
For an RGN load. Uh-huh.
Well, that's just it. I got a moving van going where I need to be because we got a load coming out of there. And it's paying, you know, way over $2 a mile, which I'm like, I got to have something. I got at least $2 a mile or I ain't going to run. So
I got to have shit that's over three for me to even think about it.
Well, I believe that with RGN. Holy shit.
That's too cheap.
That's just the, thinking about it. Back and forth. Give me a day and I'll think about it. Do I really want to hold that load?
Let me ask you a question. Robbie, you're from down here. I'm on a side street, 75th Avenue, I think it is. Or no, it's not either. It's where am I at? Roosevelt Street, and it's just lined with trucks on both sides. I mean, they park here overnight, right? No matter what the no parking sign says along the sidewalk.
You're just lucky that you haven't got ticketed.
I mean, there's just no parking
sign. Get a ticket to Amazon.
Huh?
Get a damn ticket to Amazon. Tell them pay it, sons of bitches.
Yeah.
There ain't a whole lot of places to park here in Phoenix.
No, God, no.
Go down by the local police station and park in their parking lot.
There you go.
Yeah.
Park behind this truck. Oh, ain't no sign there. I'll be darned. It's only like one side of the road there's no parking signs. Okay. That makes sense. Oh, so how y'all doing?
Do you see who's going to be? I was just telling the boys here that that Saturday is a big thing going down here in the Corpus Christi area.
Because I'll be at a Trump rally. Trump's going to be here.
Really?
Uncle Don going to be down there. Yeah.
On Saturday. Yeah. So I just like to go. I mean, I don't know. I'm not like, you know, shaking in my boots saying, oh my God, oh my God. I'm just like saying, hey, you know what? This is just history. Just be part of something that, you know, is just one of, what's that?
Put on your redneck guy's radio hat and your tape recorder and do an interviewing.
No, that's what I'm
Redneckized exclusive.
There's a bunch of YouTube people that follow around these events, and that, you know, I hope to find them too. And like say, you know, these guys, you know, they do their own little interviews where they talk about policies. I can go down there and start asking people, do you guys know about trucking? You know, how many truckers we got here? And start just talking to truckers down there. So that's what I'm doing. Just finding anybody that's a truck driver and saying, hey, you know, what's going on?
You get permission to go down there?
What are you talking about?
You don't want Greg down there.
I said, did you get permission to go down there, Ed?
By who?
Who do you think?
Who do you think?
You got to get permission to go anywhere anymore. I see your Facebook.
No, that's... No.
Either that or she's going with you.
Maybe.
And she'd probably go with him. listen to this bullshit. Maybe not. I see it right now. Yes, dear. No, dear. Yes, dear. Anything you say, dear.
That's what it is.
As long as it ain't raining and we can ride the Harley.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a different one, Ed, or the same one?
It's the same person. She's a good friend of mine. That's yeah.
Yeah,
she's
a real good friend of mine.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Those are the ones that have, though.
Yeah, it's
like I said, that's his story, and he's sticking to it, boys.
It is my story. It is my story. Yep.
It is what it is.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun this weekend. We went on the it's a rock and ride benefiting the USO, we went around the bay, and it was so funny because I don't know about you guys, but rode with one crew out to the first stop, rode with another crew out to the second stop, and then rode with a different crew out to the third stop. Because, I mean, it's just, you know, you just go and you say, well, you know, we're kicking back here. We might order something to eat or whatever, you know, get a little hungry and everything. And everyone's like, well, I got to go. I'm going to go. It's okay. So, I mean, it's like bikers love sticking together until it's just time to, you know, when it's time for them to go, they just go. So that's the cool part about it is it's like, nah. You know,
it don't matter because there's always a bunch more leaving.
That's right. That's right. If you don't leave with one wave, you'll catch the next wave. Yep. And it's like that. So, yeah, rode the ferry. It was a lot of fun. Had a blast.
What did she look like?
What?
What she looked like? The ferry.
Oh, you're talking about the boat. The boat ferry.
Yeah, boat. Yeah.
Oh, my bad. I wasn't thinking right. Lord forgive me.
That was a good one.
Ed, she don't listen to the show, does she?
If she does, shame on her.
Yeah.
She's gonna find the real side of Ed.
I tell you what.
She listens to the show. I'm gonna be a real asshole.
What do you call? I'm really thankful that a lot of my family do not listen to this show very often. I try to call. I tell my dad. You know, he should call in. He's a truck driver. And sometimes I'm really grateful that he doesn't. So,
I'm
especially with all you guys,
I feel bad. Oh my God.
Oh man.
See there. We get kicked to the curb, guys. See this? You hearing this?
Yep.
That's all right. What did Mac Davis say? To know me is to love me.
But looks like that's about it, man. I got to get to work.
Done. I'm sitting out here 3 hours from the house, and I got to sit here till tomorrow morning. I missed the damn load because they screwed around with me on my first pickup. I can't make this and over here in Delta, Ohio till 7 o'clock in the morning, and then I gotta load it, and then I'm headed to the house for the night. I'll drop it Thursday morning, then reload Thursday, go back to Columbia City, and then up to Butler, Indiana, and then back over to the house again for this weekend.
There you
go. I take my father-in-law's tires off the front of this thing and put my new ones on here.
Yeah,
well,
Greg
some big ass honking tires.
Now.
Yeah, I took my truck, put 315 ADR 22.5s on the steer axle, the big floats.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that thing's a badass, boy. It rides so nice.
I bet. That's awesome.
Yeah, cool. I have pictures of it. Oh, the tip that got a hold of that guy that had, she was just telling me, that guy that took all the pictures out there at the truck show, out there at Mill Hall.
Yeah.
She got a hold of him. He's a good photographer. She got a hold of him to see if, you know, she could pay for the proofs or whatever so she could get access to him to print some of the pictures off. He gave her the website and everything, told her to print whatever she wanted off. You know, she could have access to anything she wanted on it.
Good deal.
So he had like four or five pictures of just my truck that he took on there out, you know, drag racing and at the full track. They come out good. Then he got some of that Mike that was with Holly and them's trucks. And a couple other, they didn't have a whole lot of trucks, you know, pictures of the trucks per se, but yeah, he gave her access to them, so she's going to print a bunch of them out, so she'll probably be putting them on somewhere. I don't know. But Yeah, after I tore the transmission up, they asked me the other day, he said, well, I bet that's enough of the truck full for you. I said, yeah, until I find the next one.
That's awesome. Cool deal.
I took the tranny out, took the transmission out, fixed it, put it back in. They said, yeah, no more truck pulls for you. I said, yeah, until I find the next one. I ain't scared. Hell with it.
Yep. Yep. Well, good deal.
Number either money.
Or, oh. That's right. Well, they took a truck coming through here. Oh, K100 Kenworth Aerodyne cab over. The flatbed. Boy, is that thing pretty. All right, guys, I'm going to let you go so you can go to work so you don't whine and pout and cry. And
yep, yep.
So.
All right, have a good night, Ed.
You too.
All right, talk to y'all later. Bye. It's been a month since I talked to you, so I'll talk to y'all later.
All right, now.
Later.
All right.
Yep. Good deal. Hey, that's awesome. Hey, so this is the end of the show now. Appreciate everybody joining along. And don't forget to go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Think of all of our great sponsors. One of the great sponsors I like to thank at the end of the show here is Trucker Tools. You go check them out at truckertools.com. That's the app for the truckers. You go download their app from the app store on your phone there, and you can do everything from tracking your freight, booking freight. You can even go book your track your trip and get fuel stops, parking, truck stops, even Walmarts. Go check them out. Trucker Tools, Trucker Tools app, or check them out at truckertools.com. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be back on Friday. So tomorrow you'll see the women of Redneck and Eyes, and then we'll have I'll be at a bike night on tomorrow evening or a Thursday evening, and might be getting more involved with the Hall group down here, and we'll get more details on that, and I'll be sharing more photos and videos when I can. But like I said, check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to call in every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody's support. So check us out. Like I said, we'll have a good night. Everybody stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.